Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. Happy game day, everybody. We've got Packers-Titans noon kickoff, and I'm back this week with my Prize Picks Picks of the Week. Of course, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Here are my Packers picks for this week. Number one. We've got Josh Jacobs, more than 9.5 receiving yards. So we know Malik Willis is going to be the starter in this one now. I think they're still going to have to be creative with how they get Malik Willis some passing yards, how they get this offense going. I don't think this can be another 30, 40, 50 rushing attempt game. And I think, again, they're going to have to be creative. I think we could see some screens in this one. And for that very reason, I think Josh Jacobs, who Matt LaFleur talked about all offseason, how he wanted to use him more as a receiving weapon, I think Josh Jacobs ends up with more than 9.5 receiving yards in this one. Christian Watson, he was very quiet a week ago. He's been very quiet on the season so far. Green Bay watched him go out and block very well last week, and we've heard from Matt LaFleur, no block, no rock. Well, he blocked last week. Can he get the rock this week? More than 1.5 receptions, I'm in on that. I think we probably see one pop pass to Christian Watson, and I think we at least get one other reception maybe down the field. Maybe they take a shot play to him, but I think more than 1.5 receptions, he's due. I'm not saying he's going to have this monster game. I think they're still going to try to control the ball, be very cautious with Malik Willis, but I do think Christian Watson gets at least two receptions in this one. And then my favorite one this week, Rashawn Gary, more than 0.25 sacks. Listen, Rashawn's going to end this season probably still with his usual 8 to 12 sacks, somewhere in that range. And in order to get that, he's going to have some weeks where he racks up some sacks. And I think this is going to be one of those weeks. He has one of the best matchups of any Packer this week going against Nicholas Petit-Frere. I believe that Rashawn could get multiple sacks in this game. He only needs a half. So Rashawn Gary, more than 0.25 sacks. So just to recap, I got three going here. Josh Jacobs, more than 9.5 receiving yards. Christian Watson, more than 1.5 receptions, and Rashawn Gary, more than 0.25 sacks. There are a ton of amazing options out there on Prize Picks, and for all other teams, you can do the Packers, you can do anyone. It is awesome. If you haven't tried Prize Picks yet, you absolutely need to. And as mentioned, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. It is game day, Packers Titans. What more could you possibly want other than maybe, I don't know, QB1 actually playing in the game? We'll get to that in just a moment. A couple reminders just before we get into everything. First of all, live pregame show, 11 a.m. So if you're listening to this, probably before that, there will be a live pregame show on the YouTube channel at 11 a.m. There will also be a live post-game show immediately following the game. So make sure to check both of those out over on the YouTube channel. Both of them are out there already, so the links are out there. You can set a reminder, whatever you need to do. But again, pregame show at 11, post-game show immediately following the game on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channels. Also, speaking of the YouTube channel, shout out to Eric Curtis, Pina Colada Time, and Jaden Burke for becoming all new Packaday Podcast members. Appreciate that a ton. If you haven't checked out memberships yet, now is the time. Get after it. There's a ton of great extra bonus content out there, early access to videos, etc. etc. We'll go over that another day, but today is game day. We've got a ton to get into. I do want to talk a little bit about Luigi's Pizza, though. Hopefully tomorrow we get a Luigi's Victory Monday. Speaking of which, reminder, Luigi's is giving away a free case of pizzas, frozen pizzas, every single time the Packers win. And that brings us to Tony Bertucci, who is last week's winner. He is going to get a free case of Luigi's frozen pizzas. So if you do see that the Packers win, which is hopefully going to be the case again on Sunday, and hopefully we get another victory Monday this coming week. If so, again, all you have to do is follow the Packaday Podcast. Follow Luigi's Pizza, LuigesPizza on Twitter. And then, of course, just tweet Luigi's Victory Monday and you will be entered to win. And hopefully you will be taking home a case of Luigi's frozen pizzas next week. My Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game is Rashawn Gary. I've talked about it all week. There is not a single Packer on this team who has a better matchup this week than Rashawn Gary. He is due. It is time. It is Rashawn Gary versus Nicholas Petit-Frere. Frere gave up 9 pressures a week ago. I know some people thought it was maybe even more than that. Either way, he had a tough week. He is susceptible to a good pass rush, and Rashawn Gary is a very good pass rusher. I think this defensive front in general is going to be chomping at the bit to get after the quarterback after they've had to really just contain over the last 2 weeks. You can't go crazy with Will Levis. He will beat you with his legs if given the opportunity, but still, Rashawn Gary is going to be seeing Will Levis and just, again, licking his chops because he's going to want to get there and make a huge impact in this game, and I think that he will. So he is my Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this one, and I'm really excited to see Rashawn Gary, I think, have a breakout 2024 performance. All right, that brings us to all of our main topics for today, which is, of course, going over the game, but we cannot get there until we talk about the fact that Malik Willis will be the starter for the Green Bay Packers. Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero of NFL Network initially tweeted it out at 10 p.m. on Saturday night that Jordan Love, while he was close, will not be the starter and that Malik Willis will be the expected starter on Sunday. A little bit of a bummer, but certainly not unexpected. Felt like all along Vegas kind of knew. I've said all week, I had no idea because it was, we were definitely getting both sides on everything. But if I was, again, to put, if I had to put a significant anything on it, I would have definitely said, I think Malik probably is the starter this week. And that ends up being the case. And whether it is out of a abundance of caution or whether Love just wasn't quite there yet and not medically cleared, we don't know that. But we do know that Malik is going to be the starter. Adam Schefter also tweeted that out later in the night. So it is going to be Malik Willis. Sean Clifford will be QB2. They did call him up from the practice squad. And I think the only question here that is of any remote interest from a Jordan Love standpoint, I should add that it sounds like he will be able to play next week. So that is a huge aspect of this. But I think the only interesting thing left is, do they give Jordan Love the emergency third quarterback designation? There's really no downside in doing it. I mean, if he's just not ready to go, and my guess is that's the case, is they're just going to completely deactivate him and say he's not going to dress for the game. We're not even going to entertain the idea or thought of putting him in if there's an emergency situation. How my mind works, right, is you think of everything in these situations. Is if you're the Green Bay Packers, you should be gaming everything out. What I mean by that is, all right, if Jordan was this close, right, and we saw him in practice, like he's clearly mobile enough. I'm not saying he should go in and play, but I am saying that if you get to a point, and I get this is ridiculous, the odds of this happening are slim, but you should always, again, think of every possible angle that could come up in a game. Imagine you are up or down by 3, whatever it is, late in the game, and all of a sudden Malik Willis goes down with injury, and all of a sudden you have Sean Clifford go down with injury, and now you are without a quarterback. If Jordan Love can even just go and hand the ball off, there is an added advantage. You might say, well, anyone can hand the ball off. It's not the handing the ball off thing. It is getting everyone in and out of the huddle, the cadence, doing a hard count, getting everyone lined up correctly, actually just calling out the play. Like, there is a legitimate advantage to having somebody that can just get everything else lined up correctly and just turn and hand off the ball. You can put him in pistol and he can hand to Josh Jacobs. He doesn't have to be 100% to do that. And you can tell him you are not throwing the ball. You are not checking out of anything. You could do that. So I don't think, first of all, I doubt that we get into a scenario where Willis and Clifford, heaven forbid, both go down and you need an emergency third quarterback. But my guess is they're going to be extremely cautious. He'll just be deactivated and we won't even have to think about it. But it doesn't cost anything to put him as the number 3 QB and dress him for the game. Even if he is the quote unquote emergency third quarterback, there's nothing that forces them to put him in the game, even if the other two quarterbacks go down. So that's the only semi remaining interesting discussion here is he the emergency third QB or is he just deactivated? So we'll know once the inactives come out. We'll get to that more in just a moment as well. So yeah, just kind of an interesting scenario there. I do not see any world in which Jordan Love is the backup in this game. I hate when teams do that. If he's good enough to be the backup, meaning Malik Willis goes down and you're going to put him in, just start him. Like, what are we doing here? And, you know, we've seen that happen in the past where the starting quarterback goes in as the backup, hoping that they don't need him. And then they need him and he goes in and it just, I don't get that scenario at all. So I don't think he'll be the backup. He's clearly not going to be the starter. The only question remains is, do they make him that emergency number 3 QB? Speaking of practice squad elevations, it was not just Sean Clifford. Robert Rochelle was the other player that they activated. We talked about that in, I think, both the happy hour on Friday and yesterday's episode. Just made sense. Carrington Valentine is doubtful and very likely out for this game. I'd be shocked if he played. Robert Rochelle gives you another outside corner and a core special teamer. So made all the sense in the world to elevate Robert Rochelle. Just Sean Clifford and Rochelle. Another piece of sort of good news that comes along with that is Jordan Morgan was not put on IR. If they needed to call or add another player to the roster, they would have had to make a roster move. It was within the realm of reason that maybe they just would have put Morgan on IR and sat him down for 4 weeks. That was not the case. So it looks like he will avoid an IR stint. If they were going to do it, they would have wanted to do it before this game. So you start the clock on that 4 weeks and make this one of them. It seems like Green Bay believes that he will be back sooner than that 4 week absence, which is great news for Green Bay. Speaking of the inactives, I believe they're going to have to deactivate 7 players, all right? Or you could do 6 and then make Love the emergency quarterback. But we'll just say they're going to deactivate 7 and Love will not be the emergency QB. It doesn't really affect it either way. I think 5 of these inactives are very simple and very obvious. Jordan Love, Jordan Morgan, Carrington Valentine, Brenton Cox, and Travis Glover. Those 5 are probably going to be deactivated and not active for this game. There are 4 other players that could be deactivated, and they have 2 more to go. So if those 5 that we just mentioned, Love, Morgan, Valentine, Cox, and Glover are all not active, they need 2 more players that will not be active. And I think it'll come from a list of Ketan Oladapo, who was not active last week, Malik Heath, who was not active in week 1, Colby Wooden, who was not active last week, and Aaron Mosby, who was not active in week 1. So I think it'll be 2 of those 4 players. Choose your own adventure. I will say that it will be Malik Heath and Ketan Oladapo in this one. I think they activate Colby Wooden and Aaron Mosby, but could be any of them. And we'll just have to kind of wait and see. And again, inactives will come at 10:30 a.m. Central Time on Sunday. The last thing before we get into sort of the breakdown of this game is there was one other player added to the injury report in this game, and that was Braden Narveson. And his injury was a right foot injury. I'm not sure if you know this, Braden Narveson just happens to be a right-footed kicker. I cannot think of very many injuries to a body part. I guess like a quarterback's hand, a running back's, like the right foot of the right-footed kicker got injured. Now the great news, or I guess good news if there is any here, is that he was given no injury designation, meaning he's going to play. There's not a concern that he won't be able to play or anything like that. Otherwise, they would have made him questionable, doubtful, or out for the game. Instead, he had no designation whatsoever. So he's going to kick, but you'd never want to see your kicker, who is a right-footed kicker, have a right foot injury. That does not seem ideal. That will be something to keep an eye on. Do they have Whalen kick off, or do they still have Narveson do it? That could change the calculus on the kickoffs and how they're covering them. Can Whalen get it out of the end zone if they want to? Like, that would be an interesting aspect. And then if his foot is hurting, is there a limit to how far he can kick? Like, these are going to be very interesting questions. Hopefully there's no concern there, but he will still be the kicker on Sunday. All right, so what I'm going to be watching in this one, I have 10 things that I'm going to watch, and we'll get through all of those, and then I will go through my prediction for the game as well. The number one thing that I'm going to be watching in this game is the Packers defense. And that is, of course, very basic, very like that can cover a wide range of topics. But for me, this is the type of game that you spend all of the resources that you have spent to go out and win a game in this sort of situation. They did great against Indy last week. I mean, no two ways about it. And they could have done better, right? They did allow the touchdown at the end. They could have had the interception by Quay Walker. Like, there could have been a couple other things, but overall, they did phenomenal against Indy. Now, I want to see them put together and string together performances against the Tennessee Titans offense. That's fine, but this is not a juggernaut Titans offense. This is a Green Bay defense that matches up with this Titans offense actually pretty darn well. And you know, it is going to be hard to get points for Green Bay. And I know we saw an impressive attack last week against Indy. This is going to be tougher. It's going to be a lot tougher. And we'll go over that in just a moment. But to me, this is going to have to be a game that is won on defense. I mean, if you're allowing, 24 or more points, it's probably just over. If it's in the 20s, it might be over. Green Bay's defense has to find a way to come up huge in this one. And like I said, I like the matchups. This is a quarterback that you can take advantage of. It's a running game that is okay, but it's not like you're worried about Saquon Barkley or, you know, worried about Jonathan Taylor. This will easily be, and Tony Pollard's good. Tajay Spears is good. They've got good running backs, but it's not in the same caliber of Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley. It just isn't. And, you know, the wide receivers are good, but again, it's Will Levis that's throwing the ball to them. This is a matchup that this defense can go out and win. I love the matchups on the defensive line. We're going to talk about that in more detail. This defense is doing a great job of generating turnovers through 2 weeks. They need to continue that. I think that these corners can match up with Tennessee's wide receivers. Jair's got to have a good game against Calvin Ridley. That's going to be a really important aspect. I think Eric Stokes can do a nice job covering DeAndre Hopkins. And I think actually Keyshawn Nixon matches up pretty well with Tyler Boyd. Like, I like the Packers' defensive matchup in this one. This is why you go out and get Jeff Hafley. This is why you spend all that money on Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary. The star players, the big names, and just everyone on this defense needs to go out and play a brand of football that can go out and get Green Bay a win in Tennessee. So that's what I'm watching. Yes, the special teams and offense are both going to be important. Malik Willis will be important. There's a lot to watch in this one, no question about it. But if you want to win this game, it's going to come at the hands of this Packers defense in very similar way to what we saw a week ago. But you can't allow big plays. You can't allow explosives. You got to find a way to generate turnovers and put the offense in some easy, you know, situations so that they don't have to drive the length of the field. You can do this. I really believe that the Packers defense can come up with a big game here. And even that, like, even if they allow like 13, 16 points, that still might not be enough. We're going to have to wait and see. But it's up to this Packers defense to make it that this can be a competitive game that Green Bay can find a way to win at the end. So that's what I'm watching. I think they can do it. I really do. But it starts with the defense. And if it's just a bad defensive performance, you're just losing. Like, I don't see a pathway to victory. So it starts with Jeff Hafley. It starts with this defense. And I do expect this Packers defense to go out and have a very good game against a team that they match up pretty well with from the Titans' offensive standpoint. Number two, how do you activate this Packers running game? We saw Matt throw just about the kitchen sink at the Colts last week. And he came in with some surprise looks, some surprise plays, some surprise formations, and had the Colts just in no man's land and having no idea how to defend Green Bay's rushing attack early in the game. And then in the second half, they sold out to stop the run, understandably so. Green Bay was not going to get aggressive with the pass game, even though they had the lead, and the Colts defense had a lot more success. The Titans, I guarantee you, are going to be very aware that Green Bay is going to want to run the football, and they have a much better run defense to do that. It will be interesting to me. Like, the Titans like playing a lot of too high safety. We saw it last week when they played the Jets. Will they start in too high safety and see if their defensive front can just handle the run game and make sure that there's no explosives down the field and that the Green Bay has to go the length of the field? Or does Tennessee just start with that guy in the box? I think that's going to be a really intriguing question that is going to have to be answered. And is there any way that Green Bay can get that player out of the box? That's going to be another key part here. As I mentioned this week, I do think there are ways that you can run on this Tennessee team. I think it starts with running outside, toss plays, and some stretch zone plays. I think there are ways to attack these edges. You don't want to attack inside. I'm not saying you can abandon running inside entirely, but it's really, really tough work. But I do think you can attack the edges. And I do think there are plays within this Packers playbook. Those little tosses to the outside, some pin-pull plays. There are some plays that I think will leave the Tennessee Titans defense susceptible to giving up yards in the rushing game. And I think that's going to be paramount for Green Bay. And then hopefully if you can get some of those outside stretch plays working, hopefully you can do some Malik Willis bootlegs based off of that. I think that could be very important for this offense. I do think that read option is a really good way to attack this Titans defense. Again, trying to attack that edge player. You want to go at Arden Key and Harold Landry more than you want to go against Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat. That's the matchup that you want. And if you can get Harold Landry crashing down to go at Jacobs and then Willis can keep, there can be some yards there. Or maybe Harold Landry sticks with Willis and then you give to Jacobs and there can be some yards there as well. Either way, I do think Matt's going to have to be super creative. I think it's going to take as good, if not better, game plan this week than what we saw last week. But they're going to have to get that running game going. They cannot just count on Malik Willis in the passing attack. And this Titans run defense is so much better than Indy's. So how does Matt LaFleur go about that? Can they be even more creative? And can they get that running game going early to take some of that pressure off of Malik Willis like they did last week against Indianapolis? What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. All right, guys, it's the best time of year. Football is back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. But listen, while you're over here making sure your fantasy team is dialed in, don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the bench. Let's be honest, nobody wants to fumble their grooming routine. But that's where Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp below with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ear hairs with the Weed Whacker 2.0, this is the lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field. So join the over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use the code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season. If you haven't tried the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Groin and Body Hair Trimmer, this is the franchise player of your grooming roster. With precise trimming capabilities, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is built for performance. It's reliable, efficient, and gets the job done without fumbling. So what are you waiting for? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything this season throws your way. Number three is very similar. What does Matt LaFleur have left in his bag? He brought out a lot of things last week. And I think there's two good things here. I think one, even from a run game standpoint, I think he has a lot more to go. I think there are, we talked about some of the plays that we didn't even see a bunch of last week. We didn't see a lot of two tight end sets. And I don't know that that's still the best way to go about this, because you don't want to necessarily condense the run formations even more in this one, especially when they're probably going to bring an extra guy down in the box. That may not be your best plan of attack, but I do think there are things that Matt did not show last week that he still has from a run game standpoint that he can bring out and utilize in this one. Again, some of the toss and the pin pull and the stretch plays, I think, are a great example of that. But here's the better thing. Green Bay had to use almost none of their passing offense last week. I guarantee you, Matt LaFleur had a whole plethora of pass plays, not to use a crazy amount of alliteration here, but I guarantee you had a crazy amount of plays that were also creative and set up for success for Malik Willis, and he hardly had to use any of them. So he can carry a lot of that over. A lot of what they practiced a week ago with Malik Willis gets carried over into this one, and they did not have to tip their hand in the passing game last week. So that is something that hopefully they can carry over, and all those creative ideas he had in the run game, hopefully he had some of those in the passing game. I guarantee he did, and he can carry those over. Plus, I'm sure he put some new ones in the playbook just for this week to attack specifically the Tennessee Titans defense. Number four, this Packer, we talked about the defense. I want to dig into it a little bit further here, and I talked about it all week. This Packers defensive line, I love the matchups against the Titans offensive line. Preston Smith versus J.C. Latham. Is Latham have a physical advantage there? Yes, but do I think that Preston Smith, the veteran, can you know, utilize some tricks of the trade to get the best of Latham on a couple occasions? I do. Do I think Kenny Clark can hold up against Skoronski and against Cushenberry and maybe be sort of the guy that holds everything up so everyone else can make plays? I do. Do I think that Carl Brooks and Devontae Wyatt can have a field day with Dylan Radunz? I do. And do I think, of course, as we talked about, Rashawn Gary can have a field day with Nicholas Petit-Frere? Absolutely. I love this matchup on the defensive front, but they have to go out and have, I think, their A-game performance. I think this game starts on the defensive front for Green Bay. They have to beat up that Titans offensive line. We'll talk about how that game was a grind last week in just a second here. It wasn't that big of a grind for the defense. A lot of these guys were not on the field a ton at all. The snap counts were low because Green Bay's offense dominated time of possession, and they were able to rotate guys through a ton last week. So this defense should be relatively fresh. The offense maybe not, but the defense should be fresh in this one. And we've seen this defensive line be basically told to contain the last 2 weeks. They're going to be set free a little bit more. They got to win. They got to penetrate. They got to cause chaos. If they don't, it's going to be a long day for Green Bay. Even with Will Levis at QB, this has got to be a matchup that the Packers just win. And I think they can. I think they will. And that will be a huge key in this one. Number five, we just kind of talked about it. How fatigued is this offense? And you might be thinking, fatigued? These are NFL professionals that are going out to play. Listen, I'm telling you, when you play a game in the heat and you have to go out and grind a game like that and do a ton of run blocking and, you know, again, just work insanely hard, and you got players throwing up on the field. We saw all of these, Jordan Morgan's out. We saw a bunch of the other offensive linemen on the injury report this week. There will be a level of fatigue. Now it's supposed to be in the 90s in Tennessee. How much does that offense have left to give, especially from a run blocking standpoint, and knowing that they're going to have to go out and grind away another game? Those games will take it out of you. Now, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think we're going to see anything crazy, but I'm telling you, like, there can be a little bit of a difference. And if you see this Packers offensive line struggle maybe to run block against a Tennessee Titans defensive front that's really good, I think part of it may be that they put a lot of blood, sweat, vomit into last week's game. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't play a factor, and we will see if there's any rotation. Does Jacob Monk get in any rotation? Could they use a sixth offensive lineman in some situations? Maybe a Kadeem Telford. I don't know. There's a lot of different directions that they could go, but I want to see how fatigued this offense is, because they did play a lot last week in the heat and really had to grind out a victory against Indianapolis. Number six, of course, is Malik Willis. This is still a huge, massive key to this game. And nobody's going to be shocked here that the Packers still want to take this game out of Malik Willis's hands as much as possible. You're going to see another very conservative approach. You're going to see field position be a major, you know, thought process as Matt LaFleur goes through this game. You're going to put a lot of onus on this defense and special teams, on the running game, and make it so that Malik Willis does not have to go out and beat his former team. You have to find a way to pass in this one too. I do not think that Green Bay, and I would love to be wrong again here too, I do not think Green Bay is going to be rushing for 250, 300 yards in this one. I think it's going to be hard to get to 100 yards. And that, you know, especially while staying efficient. They can get there maybe 30 carries, 100 yards, but that's not your most efficient day in the world. I do believe that they're going to have to keep this Titans defense honest. And if they don't pass the ball with any measure of success, it's going to be that much harder to run the ball. No matter what plays you have called, this Titans defense is stout. They're good. They're downhill. They're attacking. And they will fill those gaps, especially on the inside, and make it tough on you. And some of those outside runs will end up going for losses because they're, again, attacking downhill. So they're going to have to find a way to be creative in the passing attack, get some easy throws from Malik Willis, and take some of the pressure off of that running game. Hopefully find a way to keep those safeties back in too high so that you can run the ball better in this one. Number seven, how much can the Packers utilize Josh Jacobs? They used him a ton last week. Is he a little bit more on a pitch count this week? Are you going to have to use more of Emmanuel Wilson? They bring in a brand new running back this week, or off the practice squad at least this week. Are they going to have to utilize him? That's the interesting thing. I think they will trust Josh Jacobs to make that determination, but you also don't want to get into a habit of using Josh Jacobs for 30 snap or 30 carries a game, 30 touches a game. So I think you would probably rather keep him around 24, 25, but you might need him if you really want an opportunity in this one, especially if you're winning, need to, you know, sort of bleed that clock late. Josh Jacobs could have another huge role. How good is he to go in this one and play a bunch of snaps if Green Bay needs it and they need him in this rushing attack? Number eight, can you make Will Levis do Will Levis things? He is his own worst enemy when it comes to wanting to cough up a ball here and there. He is going to give you opportunities, but you got to make him do it. And when he does do it, you have to take advantage of it. The Bears took advantage of it. The Jets took advantage of it. Can the Packers take advantage of it? He will, you know, when left to his own devices, he will let his, you know, intrusive thoughts, as Justice Mosqueda said earlier in the week, get the best of him. And the voices in his head are telling him to throw up a crazy ball or to pitch a ball, you know, randomly. And when that happens, Green Bay's got to take advantage of it. So can you find a way to let Will Levis do Will Levis things? And more importantly, can you take advantage of it? And that brings me to number nine, can't miss opportunities. Really, the first 2 weeks have been a story of missed opportunities. And I know they won last week, but man, there were so many more points out there. Josh Jacobs on the fumble last week, Braden Arvidsson a missed field goal. There were a couple other blocks that were this close to just going the distance. Rashid Walker's holding penalty. On the flip side, Quay Walker dropping the interception. There's the forced fumble by Eric Wilson that they couldn't find a way to recover. Just so many opportunities where last week's game could have been not even remotely close at the end. There shouldn't have been a Hail Mary attempt to go and win the game at the end. Now, Green Bay got away with it, but that's not going to be the case, especially when you have a backup quarterback, at least not very often. And week one was just a whole, book's worth of mistakes and missed opportunities. And it cost them the game in that one. When you have a backup quarterback, your margin is razor thin to win. And if you don't take advantage of those opportunities, you're going to lose. And Green Bay got away with one last week. They didn't get away with it. They earned it. They played great on both sides of the ball, but it could have haunted them, some of the things that they missed in that game, if they did somehow lose to Indianapolis. Thankfully, they didn't, but they have to learn those lessons and make sure that they are taking advantage of their opportunities in this one to try to pull off that win. Number 10, special teams is going to be massive in this one. The Titans have had two blocked punts in their first 2 weeks. Now, I'm not saying Green Bay is going to block a punt, but special teams is huge. If the Titans special teams is better the last 2 weeks, they might have won both of those games, especially the Bears game. They for sure, I think, win the Bears game. And the hidden yardage has been huge. What Daniel Whalen was able to do a week ago for Green Bay as a punter was huge. And I do think the yardage in this one is going to be massive. I think the punting, the kicking, the new kickoff rules, and if there are actually returns in this one. And again, can you make a big play against this Titans special teams that's had two really big plays go against them the first 2 weeks? I think this is going to play a massive, massive part in this game. I expect this game to be close, and all these little things, the devil's in the details more in this one than it is even than normal, in my opinion. And if you don't win the special teams battle, if you can't get off the field on defense, if you can't take advantage of your opportunities, you're just going to lose this game. And when you have a backup quarterback, and I know it's not like Tennessee has this big time starting quarterback, the difference between Levis and Willis are probably not that far away, at least, and maybe not even at all. But Green Bay still, when you have a backup quarterback, your margin for error goes just out the window, and you have to play your best brand of football. They played a really great game last week. They got the win. I think they even need to play better this week against Tennessee. Just to recap what I'm going to be watching, the defense in general, how do you activate this running game against this Titans defense? What does Matt LaFleur have left in the bag after showing a lot of unique stuff a week ago? Packers defensive line versus Titans offensive line. How fatigued is this offense? What can Malik Willis bring to this game? How much can the Packers utilize Josh Jacobs? Can you make Will Levis do Will Levis things? You can't miss those opportunities. And the special teams in this one is going to be massive. My prediction, I will say, guys, I do not care about predictions. This is just vibes. I don't put a ton of thought into this. Some people get very mad when I pick against the Packers. It doesn't mean anything to me. People like predictions, so I'm going to give a prediction. I'm going Titans 13-9 in this one. Low scoring game, three scoring drives, probably four scoring drives. Narveson makes three or four field goals to get 9 points. I hope they do a lot better than that, but I think it's going to be tough. Packers defense plays great, but Titans just have a little bit more. Win 13-9. Don't think it's going to be super indicative. Green Bay playing a little bit with house money in this one. If I would have told you when Jordan Love went down with injury that the worst case scenario was that he was out 2 weeks, it sounds like he's going to be back against Minnesota, that he's out 2 weeks and you go 1-1 in those 2 weeks, everyone would have signed up for that. So they already got the one huge win against Indy. I think they're playing for the win, obviously. I think they can get the win. I think they should do everything in their power to get this win, but there is a little bit of house money. If they lose it, it's not the end of the world. They picked up that huge win against the Colts. They went 1-1 with Malik Willis. That is a job well done. And if they can somehow go 2-0, it is going to be massive. So yeah, I'm going Titans 13-9. Read into it what you will. I have no idea. I have no idea who's going to win this game. That's why we watch and tune in. And I'm very excited to watch this one. Malik Willis, no Malik Willis. And how cool would it be if Malik Willis did get the win against the Titans team that just traded him away for a 7th-round pick just a few weeks ago. That's going to do it for me today. Again, reminder, pregame 11 a.m. Central, postgame immediately following the game. You can, of course, find the Packaday podcast on the YouTube channel for those who are looking for the pre and post game. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gessford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, and Jay Foreman. Enjoy the game, everyone. I will be, of course, pregame and postgame, but I'll be back here tomorrow with all new episode breaking down the game, postgame report, of course. That will be with Nathan and Tyler. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go and enjoy the game, everyone.